Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Congratulations. This is the feast. Today's the feast of the Pentecost. And we regard the feast of the Pentecost as a lordly feast, a major lordly feast, and it's a glorious feast as well. We may not put so much emphasis on this feast, but in fact it's a beautiful feast and has a lot of meaning to celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the early church. As I said, Pentecost is the last of the lordly feasts. So we have a cycle of lordly feasts, starting with the Annunciation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then we have the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we have His baptism, the Epiphany, then we have His coming into Jerusalem, and then we have His resurrection, then we have His ascension, then we have the Pentecost. So all the first six feasts of our Lord Jesus Christ deal with the Lord Jesus Christ and about Him for our own salvation. Now the seal of all the feasts is the Pentecost, where not only the Lord now teaches us salvation, but He abides in us. He comes in us. And this is why the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift that Christ and God can give us. If we want to have the greatest gift, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is what God has left us. God has left us the greatest gift. Why is it the greatest gift? For example, if you were to leave your children some inheritance, the inheritance you might leave is some money, some house, some business. This is the greatest thing you're going to leave your children. And this is a materialistic thing. But the greatest gift that God has given us is Himself, His Holy Spirit. And this is why He left His children, Himself, that abides in them. He comes inside them, lives with them every hour, every minute of their life. And why is it the greatest? It's because the Lord Himself is with us every minute, every second of our life. When He was with the apostles, He was there with them certain hours of the day. Like He was with them, maybe 12, 13, 15 hours of the day. And for sure, when he died on the cross, they missed the Lord and they were very upset that he was not with them. But He said to them that I will give you the Comforter, the Paraclete, who will live in you and abide in you forever and ever. And that's why it's the greatest gift, because Christ lives in us. He lives in us every minute, every second. He's no longer separated from us, but He's inside us. And I love this because, when we baptize children, I feel like that, the priest is like a surgeon who embeds the Holy Spirit in the child. When he baptizes the child, he puts him in the water and the child comes out, all flustered and then Abuna blows the Holy Spirit in his face. I always watch this on the face of the children, that as soon as they get that breath in their face, it's like waking up, together. It's like I've received a new life. And that's what the Holy Spirit is in us. It's a new life. The Holy Spirit in us gives us life and fills us with joy and happiness and comfort and wonderful things. And that's why, we should always be striving to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We should always be striving to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A person who is spiritual, we say spirituality, means filled with the Holy Spirit. So when we say a saintly person, he's a saintly person is because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. Every practice, spiritual practice that we do, will be filling us with the Holy Spirit. So when you read the Bible, it means because you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you go to Mass and have communion, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you repent and confess, that means because you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So every spiritual practice that we do, the aim of it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every spiritual action that we do, our worshipping, which we do, is because we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The opposite is that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can also undo the tap and the Holy Spirit can come out. together. Say, for example, you come to Mass, right, and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Mass gives us a lot of fulfillment that we receive the body, the blood of Jesus Christ, and we feel so joyful, we still feel happy, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, for example, you might go outside to the koshk outside there, and you want to buy a sandwich, together. And you're lining up, you know, a mile away, and somebody comes in front of you and picks up a sandwich quickly, together, because he knows the person behind the counter. And then you say, why did he do that, you know? Then what's happened is that you have poured the Holy Spirit out again. So you've lost all the blessing of the Holy Spirit. So there is a tap, and there is also a filling, okay? We always want to be aligned with the tap of the Holy Spirit. And مشكلتنا اللي احنا, we don't align ourselves with the tap enough. There's a water tap of the Holy Spirit pouring from heaven. And we have a cup, right, which is us in the cup. And we try to align ourselves with that cup to be filled. Sometimes we miss that cup. Okay, and the water is pouring, but we are missing that cup. But every spiritual practice that we do, the aim of it in our life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you read the Bible, it's not about just having knowledge. It's not, I'm not reading the Bible because I want to have more knowledge. No, it's about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the aim of every spiritual work. Because ultimately, our spiritual work will lead us to heaven. Because that's the gift that we're going to get. The ultimate gift is eternal life. So being filled with the Holy Spirit also gives a sign of joy. When somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit, they are full of joy, full of happiness, full of love. This is the sign of a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. So your measure of your joy, it depends on how much the Holy Spirit is filling you. When you are joyful, that means the Holy Spirit is filling you. That's your measure. If you're joyful today and every day of your life, well then the Holy Spirit is filling you. And you feel saintly, you feel spiritual. When we call somebody spiritual, we call spirituality, what does it mean? It means being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is very, very important. One of the saints said that, you know, when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, we have a very good example in the Bible in Ezekiel chapter 47. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was one of the prophets who saw many visions of what was going to happen in the future. We call him maybe John the Beloved of the Old Testament. But one day the Lord appeared to him and showed him a sanctuary in Jerusalem. And he took him to the sanctuary and knew this sanctuary, it was an altar. And during that, when he took him to the altar, there was water pouring, trickling from the side of the altar, on the right-hand side of the altar. And then he took him a little bit further and the water came to his ankles. And then he took him a little bit further and the water came to his knees. Then he took him a little bit further and the water came to the top of his leg and then to his chest and then almost drowning him. And the Lord took him through this river that led to the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, which water was beautiful water, was full of freshness. And the Dead Sea was the Dead Sea where there is no life at all. But all of a sudden, that Dead Sea became so alive with many, many fish. Many beautiful kinds of fish. And fishermen were fishing and lots of green trees along the side and many, many fruits and lots of healing. Lots of healing from these fruits. And that's a sign of the pouring of the Holy Spirit. The pouring of the Holy Spirit came unto the apostles at the day of Pentecost and filled those trickling little 120 apostles who came and received the Holy Spirit, and they began to spread the word of God. Thousands and thousands began to believe in the Lord Jesus. Many became baptized, and today we have a sea of Christians in the whole world. Billions, 2 billion people who are Christians in the whole world. This is the vision that he saw that will continue the work of the Holy Spirit that started from Jerusalem, where all people received the Holy Spirit. Today we read that in the book of Joel, that there was a prophecy that the Holy Spirit would descend upon all people at the day of Pentecost. In the Old Testament, it only descended on selected people, like it overshadowed For example, we say about St. Mary that the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And the apostles, the prophets were overshadowed, but he did not live inside them. But today, because we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive it that lives in us and abides with us, which gives us the greatest joy. One of the saints, St. Cyril, said to his people, he said that when he talked about the altar, because we were talking today that the altar can give us the greatest joy, and it can be the most fulfilling thing that would give us the greatest fulfillment of the Holy Spirit is when you have Holy Communion. And he said to he said one day that I wish my children in Alexandria would have Holy Communion more than four times a week. More than four times a week. In those days, they had a lot of time to attend Mass regularly. But he was so zealous to the point that he wanted everyone to have communion regularly because he knew the value of having communion, that the church will always fulfill, the altar will fill every person with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will receive from the Mass. And so often, a lot of people will go away on holidays to Europe and places like that, and they may go away for a long time and not have access to a church or access to having communion, and they come back and say, oh really, we miss being in the church, we miss having Holy Communion. And I always say, when they come back, I say, there's no place better than Arncliffe, you know, there's no place better than Arncliffe, you know. So and we have this one guy who comes, he's actually an airline steward. He's actually a head steward in Qantas. And he speaks many languages. He's not a regular comer to church because he's always traveling. But he knows the code of the church here at St. Mark. And every time before he flies out, he comes in early in the morning. He comes in and prays his little prayer in front of the icons, comes into church, fills himself with the Holy Spirit, and then he flies out to wherever. He comes back in 2 weeks. On the way back home, as soon as he gets off the flight, he comes in and he comes into the church again. He feels he wants to be filled again with the church, and he feels he starts to pray. And this is his practice. He's been doing this for a long time. And it's so beautiful that, you know, someone feels that, you know, the church gives him fulfillment. The church gives him being filled of the Holy Spirit. So we need to strive always to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we have something very valuable, the Holy Spirit, which is so beautiful, that is in us, we take for granted. You know, he's like somebody who is living with you. And that person is living with you, and he sits with you every day, he talks to you, you're having fun, you have dinner together. But when you do something wrong, that person sits in the corner of your house. That person just sits in his room and does nothing. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Because St. Paul teaches us that the Holy Spirit grieves, it quenches, it grieves. So it's like a person who's living with you. So when we grieve the Holy Spirit, he's like, you know, he goes and sits in a corner, he's silent, and he's upset. But, you know, he waits for you to return back. And when you return back, he comes and enjoys the time with you. And I always describe the Holy Spirit as being like a bucket. And inside the bucket is what? Is a sponge. And as if if there's a sponge in the bucket, what will happen to the bucket? It'll be filled, kida. But when you bring rocks and put it on top of the sponge, what will happen? The sponge will go down and the bucket will be empty. So the sin, when we do sin, is like the rocks of the bucket, the rocks on top of the sponge. So it goes down, with more sin, it goes down. It becomes very flat and we become empty. But once we return back to the Lord, it's like taking off those stones again. So once you take the stones off again, the sponge fills the bucket again. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's when St. Paul talks about grieving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit. So we need to always make the Holy Spirit ignited with the fuel. It's a fuel that keeps us going in our lives. And it's something that the Lord has left us so beautiful and so precious that abides in us, and so valuable and such a great gift that the Lord gives us himself to be in us for the rest of our lives. And so that he takes us with him to heaven through his Spirit. I'm going to talk a little bit about, because it came to my attention that there's a new game out at the moment, and it's good that a lot of our children are here today, that because we cancelled the kids' mass because we couldn't get somebody to help us when Jonathan is away. But it's good that we have our children here, because we are talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, if there is a Holy Spirit, there's also an evil spirit. We know that. The spiritual world is much more real than the physical world. The spiritual world is much more real than the physical world. Why am I saying this? Is because it came to my attention that there is a game called Charlie, Charlie, Where Are You? Has everyone heard that? There's been a big craze now where people, children, bring two pencils, and they write yes, no, yes, no, and they call upon Charlie, Charlie, where are you? And the pencil will move, okay? Charlie, Charlie, where are you? And some people say he's a Mexican demon. But I don't think demons are born from countries, because he may say he's Mexican or whatever, because they're deceiving. The devil is deceiving people. The devil will call himself names, by the way. And he will, and we've seen this. Yani, I remember a story of Marab Wahad Masan, his name was Abuna Shaiya. Okay, Abuna Shaiya. And he was casting a demon. And he had another priest with him, his name was Abuna Ruiz. Okay? And Abuna is saying, what is your name? What is your name? And the devil, because he's deceiving and he's cunning, is this, he says, Ana ismi Abuna Ruiz. And my name is Abuna Ruiz, which is Abuna who's taking him out. You know, his name is Abuna Ruiz. But this is how deceiving is. We saw Abuna Shaya run out of the door. Well, why did you run, Abuna? Because he said, I'm worried because he might say I'm Abuna Shaya. I mean, that's the whole thing. But because the devil can take on names, and you know, if you see Abuna Makari sometimes, or some of the Kenzaman, if you had this Abuna Mikhail, I think it was Abuna Mikhail in the monastery of San Bisho, and he was very gifted in this. And he would fight, and they would say names, Zana, Ismi Ali, Ismi Marfshe, and this, they call themselves names. So Charlie today, we're calling him Charlie, I don't know, I'm sure Ismi Charlie or that. You know, when we call upon a devil, we call upon a demon, it is very, very dangerous. Because it is abomination. We are only called to call upon God Himself, the Holy Spirit, and not to call upon another spirit. It is evil to do that. And it's very, very dangerous, because you are inviting yourself to the kingdom of the devil. You're inviting yourself to the playground of the devil. You're inviting yourself to play games with the devil. And his aim is to take your soul. His aim is to eventually take your soul. And we have seen this. We have seen how the devil can be so crafty that people who dabble in these things, whether Ouija boards, whether all these game boards, whether all these kinds of board games or any kind of magic or any kind of you know, like magical works, or inviting the devil, all these things, calling on spiritists, and these things are all calling upon the demons, calling upon evil, and it is very, very dangerous, and it is abomination, it's a blasphemy against God. I remember when I was in Africa last year, I was with Sayyidina Ambabulus, and we went to this village church. It was quite a big village church. And he had recognition, or somebody told him that these people do a lot of magic. In Africa, there's a lot of magic. People like to dabble in. Even if they go to church, it is culturally. It is a culture that they do magic stuff. They call upon spirits in that. So we were in this church one day, and I was with him. And Sayyidina Kida said to everyone, I know everyone here, you do magic. And then they all said, half the people put their hands up. And then he said, okay, everyone that does magic, come forward. We're going to pray for you. And I laid, the whole church came. And they all came and bowed down in front of Sayyidina. And Sayyidina started to pray. And all of a sudden, this lady started to scream. And so Sayyidina, you know, pushed up on, you know, he prayed for her and she became better. And what I'm saying is that people do, you know, the magic is the inviting the devil. And magic and these sort of things are inviting the devil to come inside you. You know, and people can be possessed. Taban, don't be scared. Possession is when we are dabbling. Possession can come when you are inviting. Possession will come when you call upon the power of evil to do things and to believe and have faith in that power. So young people, please don't call upon Charlie, okay? Charlie, are you there? If he says yes, he will say Shufana Hamili. Okay? So don't dabble in these things because it is very, very dangerous. I know some people have been. Khalas, forget it. We repent from it. And I'll tell you another story about these things, about the power of Satan, what he does. About 10 years ago or 12 years ago, we had a trip to the monastery. We had a trip here at St. Mark to the monastery. And we got a whole big bus, 50 people, all of the ladies, and it was like a church trip to the monastery during the week. And the driver that came to us was somebody who was, to me, he was really like, you know, you can tell this guy is not correct. He had all these rings of skulls and satanic tattoos all over him. He had long hair. And he was like a bikey kidder. And so he got into the bus. And I didn't feel that I was safe, that this person was going to take us to the right place. Anyway, so we started to drive. And the lady said, Abuna Putina, Abuna Makeri, Abuna T-Shirit. So they had a video. We had the video screen. So we had a Abuna Makeri Yunan video. So we put it in the video. And funny enough that during that video, Abuna was trying to take out a demon. And he was praying. I'm like, Etla menno, Etla menno. And all of a sudden, we saw the guy, he started to pull his hair. And he was going like this. You know, and we were just a bird, by the way. There's something wrong with this person. And then I said, are you okay? He said, I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong. We said to Abuna, look, I think it's better that we go back, Lynn. Going to the monastery, there's a lot of curves like that and a lot of cliffs. We're not going to get there. So I made him go back. So we actually didn't end up going. So we came back to the church and we got everyone off and we went to pray in the church. We don't want to go. But what I'm saying is, even the power of a video prayer can also make somebody who's demon possessed appear. The evil spirit will not like it, will not enjoy it. Don't dabble in these very dangerous things, young people. Just call upon the Holy Spirit. Today we're calling upon the Holy Spirit to fill us. Don't dabble in anything like Charlie or whatever, Ali, whatever you want to call him. Don't dabble in these things because you are calling upon the devil and you are playing in his playground. You are playing in his playground. May the Lord give us the joy today and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God forever. Amen.